are one of the best-known brand names in the country, but there was a time when the two were separate. They began importing sugar in the East End in the late 19th century, packed it, and of course made syrup with it, and they only merged in 1921. A large part of their workforce, particularly during World War II, was female, and they were known as the Sugar Girls. Gladys Hoddrell and Eva Rodwell worked there, and Nuala Calvi is one of the authors of The Sugar Girls. Nuala, why were there so many women in Tate & Lyle's workforce?
Well, the women were given the jobs of packaging the sugar and syrup. So they would print the sugar bags, they would fill them, they would make the famous Lyle's golden syrup tins and fill them with syrup, because it was considered that, you know, women couldn't do the difficult or heavy jobs. The men did all the production side. But actually in the war, there was a real shift, because obviously women had to take over these jobs when the men went off to fight. So I think that changed the status of women at the factories, because they'd proven themselves that they could in fact do these jobs, although they were only paid 75% of what the men had been paid for doing them.
How aware were you, Gladys, of the fact that your pay was lower than the men's pay?
Didn't think anything about it, love. Really didn't. It was just, you had to go out and get a job and that was the end of it. That's the wage you were given. I never even thought about other people, you know, getting more.
Now, you and Eva worked in the Blue Room, which had the reputation of having the most glamorous young women. How glamorous was it?
Well, when they gave us our uniform, it fitted all sizes. You could be a size 20 or a size 10, but it fitted everybody. But we wasn't prepared to put up with that. We was 14 up to like 17 or 18, and we wanted to look smart like we did the normal times. So we just took them all in everywhere and, you know, so they fitted us properly.
And Eva, lots of your family worked there. How keen were you to join?
Not at first. I went into making blouses in Oxford Street for D.H. Evans, but the wages were so poor that I had two sisters there that were younger than me, and they were earning a lot more. So I decided to leave, but I took my friend, we went to the A13, and I got a job packing ice lollies. Went home and I said to my mum, I've got another job, I'm not going back to the machining. And she said, you're not, you're 62 tomorrow at Tate & Lyle's. I said, but I want my friend. She said, yeah, and your friend. And my dad had got us a job and I started the next day.
And you were also in the Blue Room. How hard was the work in the Blue Room?
It wasn't hard at all. No, we didn't have to lift anything. It actually wasn't hard. I think it was one of the easiest jobs in the factory. My sister worked in the syrup filling, and I did one Saturday morning there, and, oh, God, it nearly killed me.
That was putting the syrup into the tins?
Yeah, and my dad said to me, you'll never do it, you'll never do it, because I only weighed about 7 stone 10.
So what were you actually doing in the Blue Room, Gladys?
We were actually running a machine that printed the sugar wrappers, you know? The boys used to put a great big reel of paper on the back, and it ran through, printed it, came out the other end, and we just took them off the machines and just stacked them, you know. It was easy.
There's a real spirit of friendship that jumps out of Nuala's book at you.
It was like that, yeah.
How do you look back on that? The friendship that was created
between
the women.
63 years.
I know it's a long time ago, but I'm sure you can remember.
We just laughed all the time, and of course I did silly. Well, what do you think when you're 16 and 14? You do things before you even think about them, don't you?
She did, Eva. I'm going to ask Eva about your reputation, Gladys. She was known, I think, as a bit of a troublemaker, was she not? What did she do?
No,
not so much a troublemaker, but she did get into, you know, taking a handful of mice into the supervisor's office, you know, and they'd all run out, you know, all things like that. That was glad, you know, and she went in for the beauty contest, you know, never even combed her hair or made her face up or changed, you know, hot and sweating, you know, and you'd die, you know, that's glad.
Mind you, I had been in the relay race and a long jump, high jump, but that was done for a dare.
You were known as an athlete. How did the company support that?
Well, it was only sort of once a year I trained. It was it used to be a thing between Tate's and Lyle's's. And of course,
and you were on the Lyle's side, weren't you?
I was on Lyle's side, yeah. And I was always going to get the sack. Florrie Smith, who was our personal supervisor or whatever she was called then, she was always going to sack me because she always caught me doing something wrong. And but I couldn't get the sack because the young girl that worked in her office was in our sports team. And she said, you can't sack a Flo. We haven't got an anchor woman on the relay team. So for 7 years, I got away with murder.
I'm a bit worried about these mice. You were in a sugar factory. Where did you get the mice?
There was loads of paper. There's all wrappers and stacks of paper everywhere. And of course, mice made a nest in some of the paper. And I thought I'd have a little game with the four ladies and the charge hands. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've ever been scared of a spider or mice. Nothing. I'm never frightened of anything. And I just went up and said to them, what do I do with these? You know, I've got this nest in my hand, a baby mice. And of course, it was all... Hell let loose.
I bet it was. Nuala, how good an employer for women actually were taken like?
Well, I actually think they were a really good employer and they really looked after their staff. They had things like an on-site surgery, chiropodist, dentist, eye doctor. You know, they would send you away to a convalescent home by the seaside if you got sick. So they had a very... they had a very caring attitude towards all their staff, really.
Your book follows hot on the heels of Call the Midwife, which, of course, was very popular. How significant do you reckon this documenting of women's work in the mid-20th century is now?
I think it's really important because these are the kind of stories that haven't really been told before. And especially with the East End, in the popular imagination, it's always been linked with kind of gangsters and prostitutes. And I think what our book is trying to show that is that there are actually a lot of honest, hard-working families there who were very proud. They might have been poor by our standards today, but they weren't unhappy. And particularly, I mean, a lot of people in the East End I've spoken to feel Call the Midwife does present the East End as quite grim and squalid, but that isn't their memory of it. And from the people that have read the book so far, they do feel that we've presented their lives as they see them.
You did, Gladys, have to leave when you got married. What did you make of that?
Well, we just accepted it. It was their rule, so you had to accept it.
We knew when we started that if you got married, you had to leave.
Yeah.
And you went back recently to the factory. How did it compare with your day?
Oh, it devastated me. I wish I hadn't gone, because it just wiped all my memories away of what was there before, and it's just like a bomb site now with one building.
And not nearly so many people.
Oh, about 50 people. And only just making syrup now. And I was really disappointed.
Well, Gladys Hudgell, Eva Rodwell, Nuala Calvi, thank you all very much indeed for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Now, if you were listening to the programme yesterday,